traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I know he hit me with some clean-ass shots, but like to this day, I don't know how. I don't remember them coming. I don't even remember seeing them. All I remember is like a force like took my face. And by the way, made shapes of my face that I didn't know were possible. All right, we're rolling. Oh, man. I mean, what can you say? You know, what can you do at a time like this?
Make a podcast.
Yeah, good shot. Welcome back to Impulsive, guys, the number one podcast in the world. Another remote shoot. We're back in Puerto Rico. Welcome back. I'm here with my co-host, Mike Malak and George Janko.
Hey.
Don't you ever call me Mike Malak.
Nah, they're somewhere, I would assume. But yeah, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. It's going to be a long journey. Like, I'm going to be doing this podcast probably for the rest of my life. And, you know, my life thus far has been pretty crazy, and I'm can only imagine what the future is going to look like. So it's a journey. Join me. Join us. And let me waste your time and tell you about some bullshit that happened this past weekend. Yeah. I fought Floyd Mayweather. Did you see it?
I was there. Yeah. And if you can't tell, my voice is gone because I was screaming my ass off.
I know. I heard you. You know, you're the only person I heard
in the ring.
In the ring, swear.
Wow.
I didn't even hear. I think I heard Milton once say, "You know, get a 1-2."
And he just wasn't willing to sacrifice his voice.
Bro, he's older, dude. Like, his voice is withered.
I can project my shit. Like, I was on Disney Channel. I could project.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, you're my brother, so your voice like stands out. And I told you this after the fight. Your advice comes from the perspective of a boxer. Like, I want to break this down for everyone to really like understand the intricacies of an event of this magnitude. Both, is that my bird? Just whistling out there. I put him outside so he wouldn't whistle.
He's loving it.
Now he's calling in all the female birds from the neighborhood.
Can someone go put a towel on him or something?
So he thinks it's nighttime.
Yes.
Yeah, falls asleep.
No, bro. I swear to God, it's an off switch.
That's amazing.
I swear to God. You put a towel over his cage, he shuts
it's night.
Up. But yeah, no, there's a lot that went into this fight. And as a creator, I find it super fascinating. The dynamic here, and I'm hopping back and forth, mind you, throughout all of this, from like creator to boxer to marketer to entrepreneur, and it's like a fascinating dynamic trying to balance all of it. Like, bro, I was up till 1:30 AM. The night before, worrying about posting the final, like, I'm fighting Floyd Mayweather video before the biggest event of my life.
Dude, I was doing the same thing. Like, and you're posting ads.
Anyway, by the way, one of our sponsors, Rain Total Body Fuel, which is sitting right in front of me, didn't get a lot of love. They were my water bottle, and Showtime didn't cut to the corner as much as they expected. So we're gonna shout them out here. Rain Total Body Fuel. These guys are amazing. A lot of BCAAs. Electrolytes in this drink, natural caffeine, no sugar. It's a all-in-one fitness-focused beverage. On social media is at Rain Body Fuel. The link for that is in the description. Delicious, gets me through my fight and energizes me. So check them out, Rain. Thank you. I love you guys. I'd appreciate it if you'd also enjoy perhaps sponsoring me for the next fight, which I gotta find out. Like, that's where do I begin, dude? Where do I start?
There's a lot to talk about in this episode. I think people should just make sure they listen to the whole episode.
Oh, nice.
But who's next, man?
Who's next?
I mean, we were kind of talking about this off podcast, off camera. I mean, bro, to be honest, like, the world is your oyster. And you hung in there with Floyd Mayweather, you know, wobbled Floyd Mayweather, landed the bigger punches on Floyd Mayweather, and went all eight rounds in your second pro fight.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's crazy when you say it like that. Bro, you understand? I'm standing across from this guy, like, fighting this guy, and I'm like, yo,
like, that's Floyd.
I couldn't believe I was the one. My brain was the one in my body. Does that make sense?
I know exactly what
you
mean.
Were you having an out-of-body experience?
Yeah. which happened to me in my first pro fight, and I actually kind of fucked with me a little bit because I didn't feel in control. So out of the many things I learned from that fight, I told myself I was going to have to ground myself the best way possible. Mm. And my way of doing that as an athlete, and it's been like this since high school, is fucking around and having fun. Dude, I don't know if you saw, but this whole fight, I'm smiling. He fucking hits me. I go, dude, bitch, is that all you got? Like, bro, he hit me with body shot after body shot.
You were eating those.
Bro, we'd be in the clinch. I go, bitch, I do sit-ups. I go, bitch, I do sit-ups. I'm talking shit. It grounds me.
Bro, he like shoved his elbow up your fucking neck. And you go, ah. I'm like, bro, this guy's a sicko, bro. I'm watching this. I'm like, God damn it, that's my brother. Because when I fight, I'm like so intense, but you're just like, you don't give a fuck.
And I wanted to talk about it too, because we have two different very fighting styles. And we had a pretty candid, real conversation 2.5 weeks before the fight. I got a call, and you know, I'm preparing for like kind of like an old man.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what to expect. Like, he's 44. I understand he's like a superhuman and defies all athletic odds ever. But like, at what point does age actually affect how good you are as an athlete? And I was expecting him to like kind of be, you know, slow and not so strong and not have a six pack, which somehow he did still. And then I get a call from this guy, Solomon. He's the CEO of Famio, who sponsored put on the fight.
Yeah.
Created the fight. And Solomon was like, hey man, I saw Floyd spar today. This was 2.5 weeks before the fight. I saw Floyd spar today. I was like, okay, like, great. You know, this guy's gonna have some insider information for me. I go, Solomon, what'd you see? He goes, I've never seen anything like it.
Bro.
I go, what do you mean, bro? He goes, Floyd went 13 hard rounds with three different guys, and he made all of them bleed significantly. He goes, Logan, I'm telling you, he's just so fast. And I'm on the phone like this. Right. Yeah. Like, what else? Did you see any like advice though? he's like, well,
just punch.
Do your best.
He goes, he talks a lot of shit, so you gotta like talk your shit. And I'm like, okay, I could do that. But like, bro, I hung up that phone call, and like, I'm not gonna lie, I had like a fuck moment. Like, because the old man who I thought I was fighting apparently was non-existent. And so I'm sitting in my chair, my office chair over there. It's like midnight. I'm like, yo, Jake, can I talk to you for a second?
I was like, yeah, what's up? Like,
I'm like, bro, I'm just going to be real with you. Like, you know, I heard Floyd's like looking sharp, right? And Dan Bilzerian told me the same thing. He was probably at the same sparring session. He's like, yeah, he's looking sharp. And I was like, if you were fighting Floyd Mayweather, like, what would you do? Because I was at that point. I was, like, you know, mentally and physically prepared or, like, on my way. But hearing how good your legendary opponent is still looking, I'm a tough guy. It's fucking horrifying, dude. It sucks. And we had a candid conversation. And I think it was the first time we, like, just, like, spoke about
fighting,
yeah, like the possibility of
and what it means,
yeah,
and how like everything is on the line. But for, especially for us, like, if you know, you went all eight rounds with them, and like people were still making memes.
Dog.
Like, imagine if one of us gets knocked out, like the world would be over. So happy. Like, it'll just, the world, Earth will smile, like just because that's what people want. They want to see that happen because we're not, you know, boxers, or they don't want to respect us as boxers. But, and so we had a conversation about this, and I was like, Logan, like, I feel like I was sort of like talking you off that ledge. I was like, bro, like, who gives a fuck? Like, just go in there, be a robot, perform like you do in sparring. It's just another sparring session.
Yeah, but it's much harder because I'm also super visual. Like, I visualize everything. I manifest everything. And unlike the KSI fight, I also visualize losing. I also visualize, like, the worst possible outcome as well as the best one. And that fear of not wanting that to happen, being fully aware that it could, like, acknowledging it, going, I see how that could happen, helps me. And I think that's where we differed a little bit, right? Because you talked about only seeing the victory, only tasting that win. And I was just really honest with myself throughout this whole process. And it worked for me as an athlete.
Yeah, I'm just more like, I can only think about the knockout. I think I do, though, have like one moment where I can acknowledge, where I acknowledge that everything is going to happen. I think that's in the beginning of camp. And I think it motivates me. But then I just, like, leave that thought there. And then from there on, visualize the win through and through.
Yeah, mine was like it was a really powerful, like, ultimate surrender to, like, what is.
Non-attachment to outcome.
I was disconnected while also being so invested at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it put me in a really powerful space because while I didn't give a fuck, I cared so much. Mm-hmm. And it was strong. And I went in the fight, like, having fun. Like, you saw us in the locker room beforehand, bro. I'm, like, doing Tai Chi. Like, we got, like, we're Chinese making flus playing, making TikToks.
Making TikToks.
Like, bro, we're fucking around, about to fight, like, one of the GOATs.
Yeah. I think that was so different about the last fight, the KSI fight.
Too serious.
Because, first of all, you did not envision the loss.
Yeah.
You did not allow yourself to play out a potential reality that is the fight game that you could lose.
Yep.
And then the locker room was pretty serious.
Everything about it was.
It was just intense, and you're gritting your teeth, and you're geared up for, you know, whatever. But
it was fake. It was fake because I was told to be that warrior instead of being that warrior. And you know where I found the intensity? I'm sure you saw it switch in the locker room because we were having fun. We were having a good time. We went to do our breathing exercises, and Jake prepared like a speech for me, dude. Oof. And we're doing our breathing exercises. And our eyes are closed, and I open my eyes, and I'm fucking bawling by the time Jake is done with his speech. Like, I'm crying, bro. I felt like God, like, fucking tickled me. and I was just like, what the? I woke up, I open my eyes, and I'm crying. And I got in this just, like, kill mentality in, like, a healthy, natural, organic way to me. And I started pounding my chest and was, like, excited to go to war. Excited, like... Mm-hmm. Die with honor, bro, type shit. Like, I watched so many war movies, gladiator movies before this fight. Because, you know, bro, these dudes die by sword.
Yeah.
Die by sword. Yeah. What are we doing? I'm just going into a boxing match. These dudes are getting fucking, like, stabbed. Gladiators in the Colosseum are fighting, like, lions and tigers to the death while, you know, tens of thousands of people watch and cheer them on, hoping one of them dies. And I'm like, wow, we are pussies. Like,
yeah, our generation's a
bunch. I need to channel like this energy, and it sounds insane, but as a fighter, you got to understand, you're going in there like literally putting your life on the line.
100%. It's the only sport where you can like legally die or kill someone and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as crazy as it sounds, boxing is the modern day version of gladiators, and so you have to have that warrior mentality, like you're saying, and charging up your body like that. That's why those warriors, the Spartans, all these tribes, they have chants and stuff that they do ritual.
Yeah, to put you in a trance.
To put you into that frame of mind. And once you're there, the mind is a powerful tool, and you're just ready. And this is the moment you visualize. And I saw that switch flip, and I was like, bro, I felt the energy in the room. Like you were saying, like God tickled you. Like there was energy or something in that room, and I believe in all of that and commanding that and charging you up, and everyone's sending you that love and that power. All that shit adds up, because when the going gets tough in the ring and, you know, you maybe want to quit, or, you know, your adrenaline's pumping, or you get hit with a good shot, you just go back to that place and you're like, I cannot give up.
It was such a powerful space. And I noted that I definitely didn't even get close to that in my first fight. Like, I walked into this fight as healthy mentally and physically as possible. I told Jeff right before it started, I go, Jeff, we're in the ring. I go, if there was ever a day where I was going to beat Floyd Mayweather, is today.
That's right now.
Feeling like a million fucking dollars, bro. Didn't wake up and sneeze three times. Mm-hmm. Started off my day right. People love that tweet, by the way.
That was crazy.
But like, yo, it's jokes, but also when you fight a healthy fight, world of a difference.
So different. My first fight against Gibb, I was sick, fever.
I remember you had you had the sniffles and your voice was...
Yep, second fight with Nate Robinson, broken nose. And then when I fought Ben, I was like, I'm going to kill this guy because I just feel so good right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard, man. We interrupt this program to bring you another word from our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, stop right there. I want to tell you about a great product. Our body needs electrolytes. You may or may not know that, but it does. And when we sweat, fast, diet, or just live everyday lives, we lose them, leading to headaches, muscle cramps, and weakness. We need them replaced. But maybe we don't want a sugary sports drink to do the job. We're here to tell you about Element, the healthy alternative to sugary electrolyte drinks. Each grab-and-go stick pack replaces essential electrolytes with no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, or any other junk. We all know the popular electrolyte drinks, and they're packed with sugar, and this is the version that's actually good for you. It's a great way to support your health and fitness lifestyle, strength training, recovery, or keto diet. In fact, Element is the exclusive hydration partner to Team USA Weightlifting and many Olympic athletes. They have amazing flavors like citrus, watermelon, orange, and raspberry. As a member of the community, Element has a very special offer. You can get your free Element sample pack by going to drinkelement.com/Logan. Each sample pack contains 7 packets, each with different flavors. To get your free sample pack today, go to drinkelement.com/Logan. Just pay shipping. drinkelement.com/Logan. The link is also in the description. Back to the program. And I learned so much about that fight. Like, fighting Floyd Mayweather, like one of the GOATs, just like in the short, like, what, the 24 minutes I had in the ring with him, I learned so much about boxing. It was a masterclass. And I'm not happy with my performance as a boxer, bro. I looked like shit. Like, that was, which is good, I think, because when people, my opponents in the future, go back and watch tape, that's like not how I box. I had to amend for Floyd Mayweather, who, by the way, has every style in the book. He exhibited like 3 different mastered techniques styles, and styles all in one fight.
Yeah.
and I'm like switching as it goes on and just kind of catering to him. And I knew I was going to have to make it a dog fight, like use my weight, use my strength, tag him a fucking couple times so he knows that this motherfucker is not to be messed with. Like, respect my right hand and chill, champ, chill. And I got lucky because I was throwing, but in the first round.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I got him with a good shot.
Yeah, and he had to respect you from there on out.
From there on out, and I think that's why I was able to go all 8.
But bro, this is where you need to give yourself more credit, because that unorthodox style that you brought into the ring, and it just different, and he had never seen that, and that's what you needed to do to make it rough, make it almost like a street fight in many ways. He's used to the straight punches and the this and that. He's done that a million times, but when a 200-pound Ohioan is coming at him doing all sorts of weird shit, bro, that's what made and that's Sean what made Adam. You fucking do so good.
Yeah,
you know,
and but that's not how I like fight, bro.
It's not but you are like unorthodox by nature. I've seen you do better, but for sure. But bro, like, I can only imagine you're in there, he's switching his styles, he's got all these dirty little tricks, he's doing all this weird stuff, his head movement's so good, you're like, damn, like I don't know, I don't have an answer for all of this.
I have a weird ability, and I knew this going into the fight, to freeze and sort of neutralize even my best sparring partners. And I realized it when in practice one day, we had our sparring partners spar each other. Looks nothing like when they were sparring me. I don't know what it is about my style, but like, they go at it. They're like brawling almost.
Yeah, I saw that. I was there for that day as well.
Yeah, it was weird.
And when you fight them, it's like more of a tame fight. It's more of like a chess match, you know, and you're getting shots off on them. Then you put them in there together. The sparring partners were teeing off on each other. Mm-hmm. I think it's because you don't realize how much power you actually have. And so when you hit these people, they're like, oh shit, I don't want to get hit with that again. So they have to fight more carefully.
It's They always tell me that.
Yeah.
They always tell me. And I'm still, unfortunately, this is one of the things I'm working on. Just too reserved with this.
Yeah, you need to throw your right hand more.
I know. Bro, with Floyd, I mean, you've heard it. We knew it. But let me like tell you, being in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, this man is hard to hit. This man is hard to hit. Bro, I'm long. And I got him with a couple good jabs, bro. There's one picture. Still, he's looking way up at the same. And I was able to get him with a few jabs. And every time I hit him, my confidence went, oh, he's just a man. Right? Someone told me after the fight, they go, even a god king can bleed. And I'm like, yeah, dude. Whoa.
Like, bro, he was gushing blood out of his
lip. I busted his lip.
Yeah, his lip.
And my chest puffs out of lip. I'm like, yo, like I can do this. He's a human. Granted, tough ass fucking guy. That's also one of the things I learned from him, bro. Tough guy. I busted his ear. Like, I busted his ear, bro. He got out of there quick, I think, because he had to get it checked out. And I seen the doctor, like, fucking.
You think he ruptured his eardrum?
I don't know if he ruptured it, but I fucked his ear up. Like, I know I did. I heard from behind the scenes. And guess what? In the fight, I didn't know. And he kept coming at me. Tough guy, bro. I got him with some shots, and he just, like, his pressure and just, like, relentlessness to just keep coming was, like, admirable.
I mean, he's 50, you know?
Yeah, I know. But it's like,
there's a reason why.
I know, but it's just like,
it's like when you experience it firsthand.
But you did too. I mean, how many body shots did you eat? How many times did you get hit in the face and then keep moving?
So yeah, you got hit, bro. You got hit.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what people respect. Like, I think no one expected you to have a chin like you have a chin. Yeah. And I know because I see it. And you say it in interviews. You're like, I like to get hit. It motivates me. I start to fight more. And when you say that, people just think you're trying to sell the fight. But I know that you mean that because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, like it just makes you go harder. Like, yeah, we're fucking fighting.
Yeah.
You got hit with some clean shots.
Clean. Like, so clean. And by the way, bro, after the fight, I'm thinking back, you know, as a boxer, you're like reviewing your performance, and I still have yet to watch the fight, but I'm thinking back. I'm like, I know he hit me with some clean ass shots, but like to this day, I don't know how. I don't remember them coming. I don't even remember seeing them. All I remember is like a force like took my face, and by the way, made shapes of my face that I didn't know were possible. The human face is mushy; it can't bend. And I'm the ugliest fighter, probably in the history of ever. But this is not one like good pick where I'm like looking good. I look like a moron in every single pick. Some of these stills, like Caleb, throw some stills on the screen here, bro, of me just like pizza face. He got me with a hook once. My nose is like still in the same spot, but my face isn't. I got like a cut in my lip, and then he got me with a couple good uppercuts, and I just never was able to tell where the punches were coming from. Sometimes he missed some big hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I dodged him, I remember thinking, oh, this is where his age is coming into play. He's a little slower than I have to imagine he was.
You started to get his timing.
Yeah.
In about round 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And then he stopped really hitting you. He really was only hitting you around 3, 4, and then like halfway through 5. And then you really kind of figured out his game.
Because he's a counterpuncher. And I started to throw those like wild kind of just like, you know, cross my fingers type punches. And I'd pay for it. And so I got a little more strategic with, like, you know, how to do it. And, bro, when I tell you I was talking shit in the ring, like, I talk shit when I fight in sparring sessions and shit. I've never talked more shit to anyone in my life. Or let me amend that. I've never talked to anyone in my life. I'm having conversations with him, dude. And he's not responding, right?
What were you saying?
Bro, we're in there. So after that barrage in the first round, which something came over me, dude. Like I hit him with a right, and he dropped a little bit. And in my head, I go, I think I just got him in a sensitive spot. And I heard you, he's hurt. I'll go, bet.
Bro, I saw his knees, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
His knees dropped down an inch. It's like a little squat that
bingo,
you do.
A little, like it's like a out for a split second. You have to know what to look for. I thought I did. He said he's hurt. I go, fuck, unload the clip. No skill. Like, we just.
I love that. That made it so exciting.
Bro, and when it happened, I'm in my head going, mind you, I'm, you know, swinging. I'm like, I think I just wobbled the greatest fighter of all time.
But I'm
we've been doing this for 2.5 minutes. What the fuck? He hit him with the uppercut. And mm-hmm. Like every one in five punches, it was a 25 punch barrage I counted. Mm-hmm. Every one in five would get in or hit him in the back of the head. Like,
and the sorry to interrupt, but this is what I hate is I saw people on Twitter afterwards, like, tweeting that clip and being like, what the fuck is this? Like, I paid $50 for this. I'm like, bro, you guys know nothing about boxing. Mm-mm. And I was talking about how everyone on Twitter is a boxing critic and they think they know, but they've never stepped foot in a boxing gym. And a lot of those punches were hitting him like in the side of the head,
in
weird spots. You throw five to land one. Yep. Because his defense is so good.
Yep.
And so that was like super, super effective. And again, it's just boxing critics that are tweeting out their mom's Wi-Fi that have never boxed and sitting on a couch like eating Cheetos. Like,
it's so funny to me how many people are experts at boxing. Even just like side note, the amount of texts I got beforehand, mind you, we've done an 8-month camp. We know exactly what we're going to do in this fight.
Yeah.
Keep your defense tight, champ. Make sure he comes on the inside and then block and then retire him out. And I'm like, bro, what the? You don't know. You don't box.
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up.
Like, I appreciate you, but like, what the fuck are you saying? You don't think I have this shit like locked at this point?
They just want to send a good message, man. They just want you to know they care.
I know. It's just like how is everyone a boxing expert? Because you saw Rocky once.
Yeah. Where else are you going to learn how to box?
But yeah, I threw that barrage in the first round, and he had to respect that I came to fucking fight, bro. And I went back to my corner and I told Milt, in the video on my Instagram, you can see it. I go, man, I'm going to beat this guy. And I felt good. And then round two started, round three started, he started to come back a little bit. And we knew this was going to happen because he did it in the Conor fight. Hands up, becomes a pressure fighter. This is the first style shift I saw. Went from kind of gauging as like a computer. That's what he does, right? He's a fucking computer athlete.
Yep.
Clocking my movements, what I do, which is hard because I'm an unathletic athletic person, mm-hmm. and so like I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. But he put his hands up and started walking forward, and that was his best moment of the fight. That's when he got some of his real clean shots. And every time he would, bro, like we know this again. I have a chin. I look at him, I go, nope. I go, champ, is that all you got? Champ, second round, I go, and I just got that barrage on him. I go, fake fighter, huh? What happened to that? What happened to me being a fake fighter, baby? And I'm looking at him right
talk
now.
Your shit.
Talking my fucking shit, bro. He only said one thing to me during the whole fight, though. I threw a big right. Mm-hmm. I missed. he said, nope. And I was like on him, and I said, almost. And
he's got to be thinking like,
this kid's a fucking idiot.
You had to have gotten in his head, bro. Like, to be honest, absolutely. Like every other fighter he's ever fought is like so serious and like a world champion, not having fun. They're just doing all their like little combos and shit. Like you're just toying with him, which is what he would do to other people.
Yeah.
And that like reverse mindset, he's got to just been like, bro, this kid is tough. He's hitting me. He's talking shit. What the fuck is
who
going
is
on?
Who is this guy?
No, bro. I'm the dude who's like, if I'm getting like fucked up by a group of dudes, like I'm talking shit on the way down, getting my ass, like you with Gotcha Hat.
Yeah, yeah. Puss, I'm getting beat up by Floyd security guards. I'm like, Gotcha Hat, bro.
Just on some dumb shit. But yeah, bro, that was a lot of fun. And man, fighting him again, just like some of the other shit that I learned. Bro, I'm down by his hip once. I mean, besides a whole fight. I'm the best hugger in boxing. No one hugs.
Someone tweeted,
one hugs better than me.
Someone tweeted, I wish my mom hugged me as much as Logan hugged
bro,
Floyd.
Bro, the memes, there's one. I'm hugging Floyd. It says, Floyd, stop. This isn't you. Right? I was just like embracing him. But yeah, I was hugging him. Or no, I was down by his hip once. And bro, I feel his glove come around my face on the far side of the referee. Motherfucker covers my mouth. Ooh. Bro, he covers my mouth with it. He opens his glove and covers my mouth. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, he's suffocating me. Fuck. Bro, in my head, I'm like, holy fucking shit. This is like one of those old school boxing tricks that you like hear about. And I missed a breath. I missed a breath. I got up. Whoa, that was crazy. And I'm sure he's got 1,000 of those up his sleeve.
You can wear sleeves in boxing.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's the type of shit, you know, that you, the great, the all-time greats. Like, I was talking to Holyfield, actually the morning of your fight.
Yeah.
We had a training session, and he was like, yeah, if I throw my biggest punch and I land it on my opponent and they, like, don't go down or whatever, he's like, I'll look at the ground and, like, act like I slipped so that they think I didn't throw my biggest punch or that I hit them that hard. And it was a slip.
It was only 75%.
I'm like, bro, all of these tricks, like, yeah, that's what comes with that, like, years and years and years of doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a feeling people would ask me before the fight. I don't know if anyone saw these interviews, like, yo, what do you think is going to happen? And I said a couple times, I was like, I have a prediction. I'm not going to say it. Like, my friends know and shit. And my prediction was that I was going to go all eight. Like, my honest prediction, we have it on our videos and shit, was that it was going to go eight. And I was selling the knockout. And by the way, like, almost maybe kind of happened. And it was definitely possible, right? But statistically, like, he's never been knocked down. Like, an actual, like, a legitimate knockdown.
Only once.
Because he fucked up his hand.
Yeah.
And like, stopped because he needed a second. Like, no legitimate knockdown. So, like, statistically, bro, it was, like, unlikely. But I felt like it was going to go all eight. And it did, because I knew that'd be considered, like, kind of a win. And bro, the fact that I was able to land, like, I landed on it, bro. Like, we fought, and everyone was making so much fun of me. It's a fight. No, like, we fucking fought, bro.
10-ounce gloves, no headgear.
10-ounce gloves, no
headgear. Someone's gonna get it.
We interrupt this program for another word from our sponsors. But first, before the sponsorship, in connection with the sponsorship, a word from our partner, George. Stop shop for all your links, content, and more. Guys, this episode is brought to you by Hubi. And luckily, they hooked us up with an impulsive waitlist. Click the link that's in the description or type in Hubi.com/waitlist/impulsive. They're checking the list, and for the next few hours, anyone who signs up with our link gets priority review over the main waitlist, and they're choosing 10 random people who sign up to win a free merch box like this one sitting in front of me. Merch. Impulsive t-shirt, Hubi. Do yourself a favor and jump on the list before Hubi takes off. This is your chance to use the same platform as your favorite creators. And the only other way is to find an invite from an existing user. So be sure to keep up with everything Hubi's doing by following them on Instagram at who.b-h-o-o.b-e. Link in the description. Back to the program.
What's that like, bro? Like, because I lost my voice. Like, I almost passed out. I think I told you that. Like, one time I screamed and I, like, fell forward because I was screaming so much the whole fight. I was just so happy as your brother, like, cheering from the sidelines, like, going ham. But for you, like,
bro,
what is that like?
I still can't put it into words. This whole thing has been one of the hardest things to digest, because of how grand of an event it is, especially considering, like, where I'm at in my life and my career path. Like, let me rewind for a second. 3.5-4 years ago, when I was the most hated person on the planet, undoubtedly the internet's biggest prick, like literally the whole world wanted to see me fucking lose. And I get it. That was the worst part. I got it. I was like, fuck, I need to, like, make a change right now, 'cause this is not me. It's just not. And you don't know what that change is going to be or what you're going to do to amend it and get people to believe in the version of you that you know exists somewhere. You just have to find him and craft him. And, you know, went on this journey, picked up boxing, and
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You know, my second opponent is Floyd fucking Mayweather, one of the greatest opponents of all time. And am very happy with the performance I put on in the and the show. And so you're only as, what do they say? You're only as good as the last great thing you did. Mm-hmm. And was able to continue on this like redemption arc, if you want to call it that, or just like incredible meteoric career growth path that I think is unable to be duplicated ever.
Well, couldn't possibly be
ever.
I mean, you got hit hard 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and then to stand up and keep moving forward when everyone else would have quit.
Bro, someone told me this. There's many like powerful little like things that I took with me into this fight, but someone mm-hmm. texted me and they're like, dude, like you had the whole world against you at one point. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night you're fighting one guy.
But I think that's the beauty of it, is that boxing gave both you and I like a alternative route to follow down versus like creating these videos every single day and go back to our roots, and it literally gave us something to fight for.
It's crazy.
And to fight against all of that hate and pressure. And it's like it's a movie, bro. It's like I watch these boxing movies and they all pretty much follow the same thing, like, you know, come from nothing or come from a hard place or a bad place or whatever it is, and boxing takes people out of that hole. And I'm like, how did my life end up a boxing movie?
It's weird. It's weird, dude. And yo, you talk about impact, right? As a content creator, anyone who makes content or does anything influential online, making an impact, a positive impact, is the most powerful thing you can do in your life, in your legacy, with your work. And as a content creator making, you know, funny little videos, I love entertaining people. I love making them smile. But rarely do I get or feel like I get a moment where I can truly leave an impact.
Yeah.
Truly inspire. Like, I'm sure I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be like Logan or Jake or, you know, any one of their favorite YouTubers. But with boxing and this career path that we switched to, I feel like truly, truly broke the limit on what is possible and showed it firsthand. I said it in my post-fight speech, I don't want to hear anyone tell me anything's impossible. The amount of people I had publicly, by the way, like world-renowned guys, Mike Tyson even, on my own podcast, you don't stand a chance. Floyd's going to dictate this fight, how it's going to go to the T. You're going to get fucked. Who else? Roy Jones Jr. said it. Everyone said it. Portnoy said, I wouldn't land a punch. I love you, Portnoy, but he said he wouldn't land a punch. And I'm sitting here like, almost for a second, doubting myself. Am I fucking crazy? The answer is yeah. And I got the job done, dude, because of my delusional optimism. And I believed in myself that much. I was able to do the thing that none of you thought was possible. Because guess what? I'm not fucking you, dude, for a reason. Like, I don't believe what you believe, and that's why I'm me. If I Facts. Let statistics rule the decisions I made in my life, I'd be nowhere.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
And people are so, they're so hard to comprehend. But now, yo, even just my next fight, walking into the ring, carrying that energy, like, I went 8 good rounds with the GOAT. I will not be beat. Let me repeat that. I will not be beat. And the next fight I have, I promise, will be a brutal, brutal, vicious knockout. Boxing, as you know, probably 85% mental. And the mental hurdles that I was able to jump by doing what I just did last weekend, and you can only do by doing and achieving and completing a circumstance of that magnitude, will carry with me forever. And it's powerful, dude. And I have so much, like, just pent up, like, I just know what it takes, dude. And I did it once. So now I'm going to do it again and again and again and again.
And the confidence keeps building and building and building, and the experience keeps on building and building and building. And in their defense, though, with, like, these Mike Tyson, Roy Jones guys, they don't see you spar. They don't see the work that you put in. So a lot of people, and this is everyone in America or just the world, is they have to, like, see it in front of them to see that it's real. They're painting the picture. We're painting the picture for them. They're not going to, like, believe or see the picture before we paint it for them. And now that picture is being painted, and we've been trying to tell people, like, we're for real fighters. We can knock people out. We're this, we're that.
That's true.
We were talking about this last night, Jake. No one sees the 2-3 month training camp. I mean, you had an 8 month training camp, and no one can see behind those walls except the people that are close to you and in the camp. So for everyone else, it's just one fight night, and they can only project their limitations or their ideas onto what they think is going to happen on that one night.
Yeah.
But you have how many days of, you know, wake up, eat perfect, train perfect, do everything you possibly can above and beyond what everyone else is doing in their normal lives in order to put on one show and fight one guy and raise the bar for your own ability to go in that ring again.
Yeah, I also think there's a little bit of, like, an asterisk as well, because even if you do put in the work, you go hard. It's boxing. It's a refined skill. Takes time. We saw it with Chad Johnson.
Yeah,
man comes out, is ripped, in shape, super athlete.
Super athlete.
Right.
Boom.
Can't box.
Yeah.
Right. Gets knocked down. What, in the fourth round?
Fourth round.
I talked to him afterwards. I was like, "How'd you feel, bro?" He goes, "Dude, I'm in incredible shape." Third round, my gas tank was empty. Something about the sport of boxing is like a it factor that, like, I don't know why we have it. Maybe because we are, like, kind of bred to be warriors our whole life. But the athleticism doesn't always translate. Like, I also know boxers who are shit athletes.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, amazing.
Go tell them to catch a football. They look like a donut, dude.
They look like a donut. They look like a donut catching a football.
Yeah.
I might do pretty good.
But it is a refined skill, like you said. And you have to be willing to get hit in the face. I know a lot of tough guys who can't take punches to the body, to the head. And that one-on-one combative sport is a skill that has to be sharpened. And I think where we have a lot of experience is wrestling, like having over 150, 200 wrestling matches. Sure. Bro, I was talking about this with my friends. I'm like, I was more nervous to go wrestle in front of my high school with the little singlet on, you know, your dick's hanging out. You're just going through puberty. The girl you like in high school is up in the stands. Like, you know, you're not as confident in yourself.
You're so right.
And you have to go out and wrestle in front of your parents, in front of your principal. Like, bro, that was more of a mental thing for me. And since going through that a bunch of 100 times to the point where I, like, got confident as a wrestler in a one-on-one sport. And I've lost in wrestling, so, like, I know what that feeling's like as well. The boxing now is, like, is easy to me. Like, just go in the locker room. I just go out there, have fun, and knock someone out, bro. I get more nervous for your fights. Like, my fights, I don't even care.
Likewise.
I'm just, like, playing the music. We're making jokes, like, having fun, just sitting there on my phone. Like,
Heart rate didn't spike once before fighting Floyd. Not once. I was waiting for it. Never did. Your fight? Terrified.
Yeah.
Against Ben Askren.
Yeah, fuck.
Bro, you're fighting Tyron fucking Woodley.
Yeah. What's...
I just seen a video of him hitting pads the other day. I was like, same Ben Askren.
Yeah, he's pretty beefy. He's sharp. He's strong. He has knockout power. He's a 5-time UFC champion. Has been in there with, you know, the best people in the game. And by the way, has beaten a lot of them. And he's a natural striker. I watch his knockout clips. Ooh. And I'm like, here we go.
You going to war this time?
Seriously.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's like, again, I want to challenge myself and step up that level of competition and prove to people, yeah, this guy is Tyrone Woodley, and he's super strong and blah, 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 and athletic. And
let me tell you something, because I'm always going to be real with you, you know? And, like, even like I told you right after, I'm like, yo, Tyron's a fucking dog.
Yep.
He's a dog, bro. Yep. But on the flip side, on the positive side, his age will affect him.
Yep.
100%. Floyd's 44, and everyone's wondering, when's father time going to affect the specimen that is Floyd Mayweather? They saw it this fight. He looked like a 44-year-old fighter. A great one, but, like, you could see it. You could feel it. I felt it with the speed and the power. I was like, He ain't the fighter he used to be. I remember thinking during the fight, I was like, fighting this guy 20 years ago would be a fucking nightmare, especially if I was his weight. If I go, no, count me out. So, yeah, I respect the Tyron for getting in there, and respect to you for taking on a behemoth like him. August 28th. Are you entering camp? Are you in?
Yeah, we're in camp now, as of like 2 days ago. And it feels good. It feels good to be back.
It's the best.
Watching you in camp, I'm like,
the best.
Damn, I just want to be back in camp again, because you're so healthy. Your mindset, you have a goal, a purpose, and your whole team is there. And it's like, you're just driven and motivated, and everything has so much meaning. You know, you're not just in the gym anymore, just to be in the gym. You're like, I have a real opponent. We're structuring game plans. Yep. And by the way, this guy wants to take my head off for the world. Like, I saw a tweet. He's like, guys, MMA community or a boxing community, I'm going to end Jake Paul and knock him out so we don't have to see any more of this clown anymore. And I'm like, bet. We will see who works harder, Tyrone. We will see who's faster, stronger. And look, I bet him. I challenged him to a bet, and he didn't want to take the bet. So it kind of shows his confidence. And we did a little face-off while we were doing a photo shoot for like the assets for the posters. And no one was there. Besides our teams, there was no media, and it wasn't for the public to see. And I saw a different Tyrone than I saw in the public face off. I saw a Tyrone who sort of looked me in my face and in my eyes and saw me with my shirt off. And I'm pretty sure he was wearing lifts in his shoes in the public face off, because when we faced off for the second time, much shorter guy, and we were about the same weight. He's beefy. He's thick.
He's thick.
So we're both gonna be cutting down to like 190. But I just saw a guy who was like, I think he just looked at me and just like knew,
bro.
He just knew his destiny.
He experienced reality.
He knew the big right hand is gonna come crack him in the skull and knock him out. I saw it in his eyes, man. I saw it deep down in his soul.
Wait till he feels it for the first time. I said this in the last podcast. There's a moment these fighters have in sparring, in the matches, whatever, where the fucking clown YouTuber hits them a little harder than they expected, a little faster than they expected, times you a little more strategically than you thought they would, and you're mm-hmm. like, fuck, my life is about to be over if I lose to this fucking guy. And the moment that thought enters your mind, you lose.
Public humiliation, man.
Against him, bro, and that's why you've done an incredible job at rallying entire communities around you to want to see you lose.
Yeah.
The MMA community, bro, is like, which sucks, because like I love MMA. Like, I'm still team, like, I'm team Dana White, bro. Like, I'll say it. Like, I love Dana White. I love the UFC. You know, like, I'm team Jake. Obviously.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm team Jake first, but like. Oh, like Dana, like, let me get maybe a UFC fight one day, you know? And you're like, nah, fuck everything, fuck everyone. I hate fucking that.
Just because it's more fun to me. Like, the internet's boring. I purposely want to piss these people off. I mean, look at the highest paid fighter of all time is Floyd. And he was more hated than he was loved.
Someone was telling me this today. They're like, yo, you like, I want you to be the hero in your next fight, but just so you know, villains get paid more. And I'm like, I got a brother to do that for me.
I'll be the villain. You could be the hero. It'll be fucking great. But we'll both secretly be on the same team.
You're wearing the shirt right now. Angel with devil horns.
Another word from our sponsors. Good sleep is the ultimate game changer. I just went through training camp. I took my sleep very seriously. Trust me, I can attest. We are here to tell you about the Pod Pro from 8 Sleep. The Pod Pro by 8 Sleep is the most advanced sleep solution on the market for thermoregulation. It's going to give you your best sleep because it regulates temperature throughout the night. Science suggests that there is not one universal sleep temperature for deep sleep, and this system pairs dynamic cooling and heating with biometric tracking and comes in the form of both a mattress or a cover you can put on your existing mattress. The average mattress actually absorbs your body heat, giving you those nasty night sweats and causing restlessness. Who wants that? Not me. The temperature of your Pod Pro will adjust each side of the bed based on your sleep stages, biometric, and bedroom temperature, reacting intelligently to create the optimal sleeping environment, so it's essentially a smart mattress. The result, 8 Sleep users fall asleep up to 32% faster, reduce sleep interruptions by 40%, and get overall more restful sleep. The Pod Pro is trusted by many pro athletes to fuel optimal athletic performance, as well as high-powered CEOs and overall high performers who want to get sleep fit. If you want better sleep than ever before, go to 8sleep.com/Logan to check out the Pod Pro and save $200 at checkout using promo code Logan. Link in description. Back to the program. Can I tell you something that motivated me for this fight? A couple things motivated for me for this fight. And I don't think I told you this yet, but definitely when you started jawing with Floyd a little bit and he seemed to have shifted his focus towards you a little bit, and I did not want to get like made an example of and have him beat me and then take on you and then possibly have him beat you and have him be the guy who beat both the Pauls. Like, I don't like that narrative at all. And during this fight, I'm thinking about like the amount of mental energy we've put into this over the past 8 months, being told like, this is the date, this is the date, this is the date, oh, we're changing this, it's going to be in this city, XYZ. Like, it was a fucking roller coaster of a ride, and it felt like mine, my moment. I worked so hard for this. I was patient. You've had three in this time period, and ever since then this got you know, put on the table for me. I kind of just crossed my fingers and like hoped it would happen. And I was like, damn, if Floyd beats my ass, and you knew this too.
Yeah.
He's going to call out Jake.
Yeah.
He's going to fight Jake. And like, he could beat Jake. He might not beat Jake, but regardless, he got a fight with Jake in an event where I feel like I put my life on hold, hoping it would happen. Thank God it did. Like, I put all my eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. I had other fights on the table. Multi-million dollar offers to fight another big name, two. And we postponed them, hoping the Floyd fight would happen again. Thank God it did. I was so invested in this moment. And I knew that if I let this slip and take a fight with you, and you'd probably even get a better deal than I did, that like ate me alive. I was like, dude, I love you, but like, I can't. This is mine. This is one thing where, like, I need to step up to the fucking plate like you have in all your fights. Like, you stepped up to the plate, bro, in all your fights. And in this one, I knew I had to answer that call to the best of my ability. And, like, it was my time to shine. I'm afraid of my potential. There's a quote. Our biggest fear is not that we are inadequate. It's that we're, like, powerful beyond all measure or something like that. And like, that is my, like, I'm still hesitant and have not yet truly stepped into how fucking beastly and powerful I can be in this fucking sport.
Yeah, first of all, I respect that, bro. And you, whatever you need to do to motivate yourself, like, that's fucking dope. And by the way, you know, that's what the beautiful thing is about you and I, is there's really no one else that I'm competing with. I'm competing with you, but at the same time, we're on the same team, yeah, and vice versa. So we can use each other to grind more, work harder. You know, I see mm-hmm. you in camp training for Floyd. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to jump into this camp early and finish Logan's camp off with him, because I see this. He's motivating me right now, and I know I'm going to have a fight. So I'm jumping into this camp early so someone can catch the hands even earlier in my fight. And I think we just build off of each other, and together we are quite literally an unstoppable team. And I've had this, you know, thought and looked myself in the mirror. I'm like, bro, at this young of an age, with how hard we work, the things we've been through, the experiences we had, the teams we have around us, and the knowledge we have, quite literally, there is no limit to what we can do or what we can accomplish. It's seriously unlimited. Bro, we just have to keep our head down and stay focused.
Bro,
and
you're telling me that now. I said something about my next fight, and I had a close friend DM me. They're like, bro, your next fight could be like Elon Musk or some shit, and I believe it. What is not possible now? Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. Bro, do you know the day of the fight, I went to go like 40 minutes in Miami to sit in the hyperbaric chamber and get the cryo chamber as well. And on the way back, it took a little longer than we thought. The driver was like, yo, like, I got somewhere else to be. I'm like, yo, I'm sorry. What are you talking about? We're like 30 minutes away from our destination. It's 5 p.m. I'm fighting Floyd Mayweather in like 4 hours. He goes, I am sorry, Russian guy. I don't know if this is a Russian accent. I'm sorry, I have client. I go, bro, I'm not getting out of your car. Like, you're going to have to like drive me to the hotel now, right? I'm in fucking fight mode, bro. I'm listening to my music in my headphones. The head. Bro, he pulls over on the side of the road. He's like, I have to. She is a client of mine, personal client. Like, he got double booked, right? It's not his fault. She pays $60,000 a year. I'm like, fuck, this is this dude's livelihood. I'm like, fuck me, bro. I'm like, I look outside, bro. We're sitting outside of Mojo's Donuts, a public parking lot, busy intersection, 5 p.m. I'm like, no fucking way this is like, this would happen. Like, obviously, like, why didn't I just see this? Get out of the car, bro. I'm standing outside of Mojo's Donuts. Me and Milton, no security. No security. Me and my head coach standing outside of Mojo's Donuts on a busy intersection waiting for an Uber to come pick me up to go back to the hotel to fight Floyd fucking Mayweather. And I'm like, sometimes, bro, I point up the sky. Like, I see God fucking with me a little bit. Like, you ain't gonna get me this time, but I see what you're doing here. It was a test.
Just a little bit of humor,
it
right?
It was a test. Bro, I was pissed. Dad, I was pissed.
The world wants to derail you, but you just have to stay focused.
That's life, baby. That's life.
And you have to use it as motivation.
When this fight first got announced, I didn't know if I could do it. Like, really, like from the inception of Jeff saying, yo, would you ever fight Floyd Mayweather? And I'm like, yeah. Because it's exciting, right? But then when it like actually came to fruition, I'm like, how the fuck am I going to do this? This guy's the GOAT. How am I going to fucking beat this guy? And I had a couple people reach out. Like, I'm still a human, right? I'm not weak, but I'm vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I'm not invincible. And I know that. And as mentally tough as I am, I'm always trying to be honest with myself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, fuck, just like everyone else. I'm like, this is going to be next to impossible. How do I do it? And I had a couple people reach out when the fight first got announced who like said certain things or like made an impact on me that I like remember vividly. One of the stories I'm gonna say for Joe Rogan's podcast, I promised myself this, but do you know who David Cho is?
So you just announced that you're doing Joe Rogan's podcast?
No. One day.
Oh.
Hear that, Joe?
Honestly,
one day. Joe, please. I'll see you one day. But David Cho, who I actually found out about and watched and discovered from Joe Rogan's podcast. David Cho, an artist.
Yep.
You know who he is.
Yep.
He's, I guess his biggest thing or that you might know him for is he's the artist who painted the mural on the Facebook HQ. And he's like, yo, this is $60,000. And the Napster guy was like, okay, I could pay you $60,000 or give you shares in this brand new company called Facebook. He's like, I'll take the shares. Cashed out for like $150 million. And by the way, the most fascinating, inspirational, like oracle of a human being I've ever seen in my life. I watched his entire Joe Rogan podcast like four times. Never heard of this guy in my life, right? Connected with him on Instagram. I was like, bro, you're incredible. Made me a Charizard costume that I wore into my box break. Like, we just stay connected. And before the fight, when it got announced, everyone, you know, social media, he's gonna get his fucking ass kicked, whatever. People are texting me like, yeah, good luck. You do you really think you can beat this guy, whatever? I get one text from David Cho. You will win. I went, I printed that shit out, stuck it on the mirror. And every day I'm like, yo, this dude, like, he's clearly got some like otherworldly like foresight. And it meant a lot to me. And like, even like Joe Rogan and Cam Haynes talked about it And they're like, yo, I'm betting on the one punch knockout, Logan. And just hearing these like little bits of motivation amongst all the hatred and noise and people telling me that I can't do something, it meant a lot. Like it really did affect me. Like,
have you ever heard the inverse of that?
Mm-mm.
There's, I can't remember who said it, but in a crowd of 1,000, there's one person booing you, and that one person stands out the most.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of the reverse of this. This is,
and maybe this is,
yeah, crowd of 1,000,000, there's one person that's sending you a good look.
And I think part of my gift is that I'm able to trick my mind into filtering all the stuff I don't agree with out.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I don't agree with you. Even just like people ask me, how do I deal with haters? My response has always been like, oh, so if someone's like, yo, Logan, you're a piece of shit, I go, okay. Do I believe that? No, I don't believe that. Like, is the sky blue? Yes, the sky blue is blue. These are both facts. Sky's blue. I'm not a piece of shit. These are facts to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it doesn't even make it past the thing. Like, I consider it.
Yeah.
Am I a piece of shit? No. So like, when everyone's like saying all these things, I'm like, I don't agree with that. I do agree with me wanting to win. And so I'm very good at like hand selecting exactly what I want to hear and using it to my advantage.
It's a skill.
I think it's called right hearing. Hearing things that are deeply true within yourself. You can cut out everything else that's not. That is a skill, though. You got to build that. You got to be willing to put the walls up on your mind and not let anything get in that's going to tear you down.
Bro, they're still chirping. There's like, I see people still just, like, their narrative has shifted. Mm-hmm. It went from, you don't stand a chance, mm-hmm. right? You're going to get your ass kicked. You're going to get knocked out. Even Floyd in the first press conference, quote unquote, I guarantee he'll get knocked out June 6th. Oh, guarantee? You know what that means? Because it didn't happen. Not even close. And still online.
He probably bro, doesn't know what that means. He's not good at vocabulary.
You're still talking shit. Come on, chill.
Bro,
No, let me stop you, bro. Wait, let me finish this. Please. Please, bro. Please, listen. I saw this clip.
Jake wants a fight.
I saw this clip on Instagram, bro. Floyd gets me with a hook, and I fell onto him. Like, I kind of did the whole fight, and in wrestling it's called a wizard, and you kind of just get like an underhook and like sit here, and my body's like kind of limp. I'm just letting him carry me. Like, that's the strategy. Like, you, like, champ, good luck, here's my dead weight, right? And I saw this clip, and they're like, Floyd knocked out Logan, then caught him and held him up to let it go 8 rounds. And I know, like, viral moments, I know what the internet wants to hear and feast on and share. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, motherfucker, I know this is going to take off. I know people are going to just eat this narrative up that he knocked me out and caught me and held me up to let it go 8 rounds. And I'm like, sure enough, it did. Caught some legs. And I'm here like, yo, you fucking morons. Like,
bro,
stop trying to do everything you can to discredit what happened. Like, how did you go from, yo, he's going to fucking kill you, beat your ass, you're going to get embarrassed and you never stand a chance, to like, well, like, you were hugging him the whole time. That's what you do when you're fighting a guy 40 pounds heavier who's the greatest fighter, or lighter, who's the greatest fighter of all time. Like, you use your weight to your advantage.
Every little thing.
Everything.
That when I watched that video, because I know exactly which one you're talking about, not only did I lose more faith in humanity, but I thought the same thing. I'm like, bro, people are just fucking stupid. And it's a problem in our generation, a bigger problem, where anything can be posted or tweeted about or made a TikTok of. And without seeing whether it's true or not, or having any actual facts, people believe it because someone else said it. It's like sheep, and there's like a sheepdog. Just
it's crazy.
Hoarding the sheep or whatever. Like,
I also seen Floyd Mayweather after the fight, and it's like, you know, a picture of him like looking up and smiling, and then me after the fight, and I'm kind of like, you know, my eyes are red and whatever. And I'm like, yo, but what happened to like when I'm screaming like, Miami, I fucking love you? Like, where's that picture, dude? Like, the headline hunters.
It's so easy to put two pictures next to each other and totally ruin one person and build one other person up.
Which I get, and I don't mind. And it's a strategy, and I've used it to my advantage as well. And everyone who listens to this podcast knows it takes like a semi-evolved person who's like slightly more conscious than the average human to be like, there might be a bit more context to this than this headline above this fucking meme page. slightly evolved. Like, 90% of the time, like, the context is missing and the narrative is formed based on
like,
what you see.
And it's tweeted from an account that's like Buttered Noodles News 69 Mom.
I love them. I love these accounts, bro. I got featured on some of my favorite meme pages, bro. Trash Can Paul, the best page on Instagram. Trash Can Paul. My favorite. I got featured on Shithead Steve.
Beeple got you on.
Beeple. We love Beeple. Got me kissing Floyd before I even kissed him in the ring. Yeah. Yeah. But among the many things I think that we're doing for this sport, you know, as fun as it is, one of my favorite is, and you started this narrative, fight or pay. I didn't even realize.
Bro, this is the most important thing that I think we need, me and you.
Yeah.
We need to drive it down everyone's throats. Mainly Dana White and mainly the promoters. Because it is the most unfair thing. And I've been talking about it for quite some time now, even since before the Ben Askren fight. And I just don't understand it. And I see how much work these fighters have to put in and how hard this sport is and how unforgiving it is. You are only as good as your last fight. Mm-hmm. And Dana White's like, if you lose, sorry, buddy. Like, you're still signed to all these fights, and I can pay you $15,000.
Yeah.
And
it's like working for clout.
It's hard. And it's hard, too, because, like, if you don't have that commercial personality, I'll call it, like a McGregor, and you're just a beast ass fighter, you didn't lose, but it's much harder for you. Kamaru Usman's a good example. One of the best. Doesn't really have a super commercial personality, right? Like, he, like, one of the best fighters.
Commercial or developed?
Commercial. Like, he doesn't sell as many pay-per-views as he should because people aren't super invested in him. And it's no fault of his. It's just not who he is. He's a killer. He's a fucking killer, bro. Not like a Disney star. Like, we were trained for the other shit first.
That's what I was gonna say. You have media presence. You know how to sit and talk to a camera and, you know, look at this camera, tell the story to this person with this inflection in order to sell the fight.
It's cheating. It's our gift, right?
Yeah.
But and my one rebuttal, because I agree, the fighters are the talent. The fighters bring the audience. The power is with the fighter. And some are
risking their lives.
100%. Some are catching on. My one rebuttal would be this, and this is me playing devil's avocados. Selling pay-per-views is hard, bro. And I bet most fighters think they're much more valuable than they actually are. When it comes to actually driving pay-per-view sales, a lot of them probably aren't where they think they really are.
100%, and I see that all the time. I mean, we know it firsthand. People think they can go into the ring. These TikTokers and stuff think they're going into the ring this coming weekend or whatever, and they think they're gonna sell X amount of pay-per-views. No. you're not gonna do that. And I think a lot of fighters do overprice themselves. I just think the ones there are certain ones who can sell the pay-per-views.
1,000%.
That aren't getting the pay-per-view cut and the numbers that they deserve. Like, how are me and you sitting here, I'm three pro fights in, you're two pro fights in, how do you and I make more than every single fighter in the UFC?
I think Francis Ngannou tweeted this, right? Or someone did. It might have been him. It's fucking stupid, dude. It's fucking dumb. But the answer is because people are invested. Whether they like it or not, they want to see me try to do the impossible, right? Or come close or whatever the fuck. They want to see you get your ass kicked. Whatever it is, they're invested. They care emotionally, positive or negative.
But also because we are at the table during the business meetings.
True.
Dana and Dana White doesn't have his fighters at the table. He's like, here's how much you're getting. Take it or leave it. Because he has that power. Mm-hmm. He's got them signed to that contract.
Well, that's his savvy. That's the magic of the Dana White.
But here's the thing, and this is where it needs to even out, because it just needs to be more fair. But out of all the sports, UFC fighters compared to how much the owners of the league get paid is the lowest.
Wow.
I think it's around 20% is how much the fighters get, whereas in other sports it's like 45%. So the NBA players are making 45% of what the total organization makes. So that means that
increase the pot, even a bit,
even a bit. And give the ones who are selling the pay-per-views, reward them.
Yeah, stack them up.
Reward them and let them live a good life and retire, because John Jones, Francis, you know, is one of the most exciting heavyweight fighters now. Like, bro, people are going to fucking watch that guy. Yeah. Like, he needs to be a multi tens of millionaire.
Yeah.
And the guys who are running the organization, like the Usmans now, like the John Joneses, you know, give these guys what they deserve.
Yeah, pay them. Pay them.
And it'll trickle down from there. You know, the more the UFC grows, the more the fighters grow. The more the fighter, you know, as he's stepping up in the ranks, then he should be getting paid. But even, you know, you look at like Chris Weidman, who goes in and snaps his leg. Like, what happens in that scenario? Because in the NBA, they're guaranteed a certain amount of money. They still get paid. In the UFC, they're not. There's no guarantee you have to go in there and fight to get paid.
Oh my God.
And you take all the risk.
It's ruthless, dude. It's ruthless.
And by the way, bro, we're the only ones, honestly, that can really talk about this, because the
UFC
fighters,
they're locked up. They're locked up, bro. Oh, they can't even
imagine a UFC fighter coming out really in
clipping this podcast, like being like, yeah.
Dana White's gonna be like, "Fuck you, you're fired."
Did you see Tony Ferguson before his last fight saying they should increase the knockout bonus? Or
I did see that.
Whatever the bonus was, it went from 50 to 75K. But even then, it's like.
But those are all the little things that need to be changed and pushed forward. Maybe it's not the salary. Maybe if you have a good performance, if you know, increase it, reward these guys for doing good. And on another note, like going into the boxing lane, it's like same thing with these promoters. Like, what does a promoter do nowadays? Like, fighters, yeah, they put on the event, they have the license. You know, and there's promoters like Eddie Hearn who do a good job of selling the fight and has his own platform. Yeah. But what other promoters, like, can an average person name? Like, Mom, name another promoter besides Eddie Hearn.
Triller.
No, that they're not promoters. That's like a company. So there's no, your average person can't name that name another promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to the fighters, in my opinion, to learn content, to learn media presence, and to learn to sell their own fights.
We've been doing that shit our whole life. It is so hard.
Okay, well,
Ryan's gotten close.
Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, because he's doing it.
Yeah, and he's young and he's savvy. Yep. And he grew up in the social media era. Yep. But, bro, if we took 4 or 5 years to learn how to box, these fighters
can take
4 or 5 years to develop a social media team, hire a videographer.
Yo, ironically,
hire an editor.
Ironically, Ben Askren did a good job of this in your fight with him.
He did great. He like
made that Rocky video, hundreds of thousands of favors. We said it. We're like, bro, this dude's like, he's milking this shit.
I think the difference is you guys have your built-in media empires already. I mean,
Ben didn't, is what I'm saying, and it's possible.
And he stepped up to the plate, and it's possible, and at least try. I saw Jermall Charlo created a YouTube channel and is like posting vlogs on there. I'm like, bro, this is sick, because I liked him as a fighter, but I never got to see his personality. So I watch his videos. I'm like, oh, this guy is even cooler than I thought he was. Now I care even more about his fights. And so it's like, just do a little bit more. I think it's the fighter's job to sell these fights now. And I think there just needs to be more conversation about promoters on the boxing side and Dana White on the MMA side signing these fighters to longer term contracts and screwing them over. Bellator fighters make more than UFC fighters.
You're joking.
Swear to God. It's a fact.
Oh my God.
It's a fact, which just shows that Dana White is just a greedy little elf.
Do you think you could do so the same way Logan got a Floyd masterclass? Do you think you guys could, you know, help people understand what a camera is or how to hire someone or bring in, you know, a whole media team for fight camps for these different.
What you're describing is like us becoming
consultants.
No, not. I think the proper way to do it would be like we're the promoters. Like, we now represent you. Like, even like, yo, come to Puerto Rico and train with us type shit. Like, that's probably the big business mogul move that we'll end up doing eventually. And maybe even like massive conversation, start our own league where we like, cause like, bro, we don't need money. We have money. We want legacy. I mean, money's dope as fuck, but like, legacy's cool. And to start like a organization where
me and you should be the Dana Whites in the face offs. Can you imagine? I wanted to do like, imagine if you had a team of fighters and I had a team of fighters and I went and trained my team and you went and trained your team and there then we had go. Them face go against each other.
That's cool. I'm a shitty coach. The worst. No patience. Absolutely
well,
no
you can
patience.
Still be around.
I cannot teach.
We wouldn't be the coaches. We were just
Jake, Team Logan.
We would hire coaches to get in the trenches. Right. But like
that would be the most interesting boxing event of all time. If you picked five fighters and you picked five fighters and just said, let's run it.
Like Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, Team Logan versus Team Jake. Except we're actually going to pay the fighters what they deserve.
I got my guys. They were my security for the fight. The Ghost Shed, baby. Ghost Shed, y'all. I want y'all.
I'm going to be honest, bro. when I saw them, I was like, okay, I know these guys are badasses.
Yeah.
But not a single one of them was over 5'11".
I know. That was the point. That was the point.
Oh, okay. But I didn't know that they were security at first because they were
that
little.
That was also the point. Assassins will break your fucking every bone in your body.
But here's the thing. Are you going to go and fuck with someone if you know they have security and they're big and like looking at you?
I hear what you're saying.
Or are you going to go and find out that they have security?
One of those is much worse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's like perceived. It's like perceived.
I hear
perceived,
you.
Perceived
threat.
Threat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. I like Brendan Schaub pointed this out. He's like, yo, Logan security versus Floyd security. Like, we want to see that card. Like, bro, because his are huge, but mine are killers. Train killers.
Fuck up Floyd security. But they just look like. I was literally sitting there. I was
no,
like,
but you, bro.
Oh, you guys are here for a security.
No, but if you know, bro. You'd scan the room and everyone's like doing their thing, and then there'd be a couple guys. You're like, yo, those guys look a bit more menacing than the rest of the group. Like,
yeah,
he's not huge, right? But like, what's up?
They would put.
I don't want to fuck with that guy. Right?
They would start doing flying arm bars and shit.
Yeah, I will say they did a good job of security, but you could tell that they weren't like a refined security team. Even awesome, like the head guy was like, "Bro, we're not security. We're MMA fighters."
It takes a lot, bro. Like there's a lot of instances with a security guard that they have to be trained.
Yep.
Like, years and years. And
especially
years.
If you have to act as a unit, which is hard if you've never done it before. How are you gonna do it?
Yep.
Like that's hard, bro. I honestly like, you've been on this wave for a while now. I'm not going anywhere without security after this fight. I already noticed that the not to sound like pompous, but like my name did reach a new level.
I've been trying to tell you this. That's why I walk.
I feel
with
it
security.
Now. I feel it now. But I can't go like not one person. It doesn't give me like that fucking double look, and I'm like ugh. Like I can't be as low key as I used to be able to.
You can't go anywhere, bro. My demographic is like the craziest thing in the world. It's like the 4-year old who is watching Disney reruns that still is like, that's Dirk. and then I have like the 90 year old Mike Tyson fan who's like, you did so good. You knocked the fuck out of it. It's coming up to me. It's like the craziest demographic that I've seen.
Oof. All right, well,
that's wide.
Is there anything else?
How you feeling?
That's a great question. I don't know.
let's go body first. How's your body feel?
Great. A little sore. You can tell I got a little tagged in the eyes. He made my nose bleed once, and I wiped my nose. I go, you got me. But I made his lip bleed. Mm-hmm. That was good, which is good. My body feels good. Healthy and like enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm. Celebrating a little bit.
Tiny bit. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a desire to like drink or get fucked up, bro. Being in Puerto Rico changed my priorities. It's weird.
Absolutely.
It's weird.
Well, you got your family down here. That's
exciting. Yeah, my mom and my dad are right over there, which is awesome. And you're here.
Hey.
Which is fucking awesome. Jake's here. Like, we got the sound guys over there. He's new.
But it's been calm. It's not.
I don't want it, bro. I was sitting at the after party in Miami. And I'm like, damn, I don't know how much I really want to be here. It's like everyone's like kind of just fucking drunk and like I don't want to really talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like my age or like this last camp changed me or like being in Puerto Rico. Like I don't mind being, I'm just like focused. I got different priorities now.
Mm-hmm.
I know the feeling of like what you're going through.
How? You're younger than me. Like, did it happen to you? Or
it,
you?
It happened to me, bro. Because I'm like, damn, now I can eat whatever. Like, I can do and eat whatever
it's
I
nice.
Want. Like,
I mean, cheesecake.
Like, bro, no.
Cheesecake.
Like, that. Like, that's literally, I'm talking about figuratively. You're sitting there after the fight and you're like, you're looking up at the sky and you're like, I can go to the space right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do whatever you want. So why, as a smart individual who is young, hungry, and successful with all this knowledge, you don't want to slow down. You're like, what's next?
That's it. That's
you're like, I need more. Mm-hmm. So you just want to start eating more, bro.
Crazy momentum right now.
Jake and I, we've been joking. You've all heard it around the house. We're like, more fights.
More
like,
fights.
We need more fights. Wish I could clone myself and put on more fights.
As fast as we can get these deals done, I'm doing them.
People are scared to sign the papers, man. They don't want to take
it's on. It's so funny because I'm literally like, you know, I've been asking like, who's next, and it's. I don't know if I have an answer. Like, if y'all want to see me fight someone or have someone in mind, like, let me know.
The cream of the crop will rise to the top. I think someone will pop up that will make it an undeniable decision.
Mm. Okay. Everyone wants it.
But sometimes it does help when they publicly put it out there. So I'll be your promoter. I have a young fighter here named Logan Paul. If you want to fucking fight him, call him out, baby. Call him out.
Call me out. Let me know.
We're looking at the applications.
Let me know. All ages, all sizes. Like someone mentioned Mike Tyson. Like how funny is it? Like one great at a time, or is that like is it you can only fight one and then out of the next?
Yeah, I think I don't know.
He's pretty mean, man. Yeah, dude, I don't want to see you fighting. He pieced some people up. You ever see what he did to people?
This is what they said about Floyd.
My lawyer mentioned it, and he's like, no, Tyson will rip your head off. You don't stand a chance. I'm like, bro, I just went through all this. You can't tell me I can't beat Mike Tyson. Bro, he's old. I don't think so. I don't think so.
You know who's got a higher bone density than you?
Mike Tyson. I was telling Mac, I got a high bone. I'm in like the highest percentile of bone density. You probably are too.
Yeah.
Doc said.
Y'all are super dense.
He said you could hit me with a baseball bat and the bat would break. Don't get any ideas.
Because then you'll have a broken baseball bat.
Because you're going to break your bat. But yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, what next? What now? Real quick, bro. I'm proud of my outfit that I wore and my walkout. I'm biased, but that was one of the coolest walkouts.
What about the chain?
That's why. It's part of it. Bro, I walked out to The Greatest Showman. Okay? Not like some fucking heavy rap song. The Greatest Showman, bro. Hugh Jackman belting from now on. Anthemic, like, chorus, whatever. It means so much to me because, like, I relate to that, right? Yeah. I want
to. Do people
to be
know how much
showman.
You love that movie?
No, I don't think so. It's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack is incredible. Like, I'm a fucking nerd. Like, obviously, like, I had a fucking Pokemon card around my neck that is a million-dollar card. Like I said this. Like, it's a million-dollar card.
That's a flex.
There's only three in the world. The chain was your idea. The diamond chain, which cost $40,000 for a custom-made chain to fit a fucking BGS 10, a Beckett 10. First edition Charizard.
It was just funny because, like, the way Floyd walked out, like, he thought he was so cool with like, the performances. and, like, the rapper had all of his chains on. And, like, your chain is just literally four times as much.
A fucking Pokemon card. Dude, Pokemon's a flex? I'm proud of that card. I swear to God, ever since I got it graded a 10, my life has been on a meteoric rise. We've been talking about momentum. Momentum. The most powerful force in the universe.
Said you. What do you want to talk about? How you got that graded, or
no? I mean, I'm going to. I have a YouTube video. That's okay. Like, yeah.
I commented you harnessed the power of Charizard to beat Floyd, aka Ditto.
Bro, he is Ditto. Oh, he was changing into so many different things. It's hard to hit him with a jab. That's what he said about me. It's hard to hit him with a jab. He said, "I'm better than he expected. Exceed expectations."
But here's what people don't want to talk about is that's what he's saying publicly. You got him to the point where he said he's better than I thought publicly. So what is he saying behind closed doors?
You know how slick he is and smart with what he says. he'll downplay the significance of everything. And it's like a weird flex. Like for the McGregor fight, he's like, yeah, I barely trained for it. You know, his boy said for this camp, he was training for like a world-class fighter. Like he was training for Canelo. I have the clip here. He goes, yo, you would think he's training for a world title fight. And
that, I think that happened after the gotcha hat moment.
It did, because you pissed him off. Look.
Looking sharper than he did when he saw for Conor McGregor.
It looks like he's training harder than he did for Conor McGregor. It looks like he's training for a legit fight. He looked like he was really training like the Canelo fight. Like, bro, you wouldn't really think he about to fight for a world title.
I'm hearing this. I'm like, bet. Let's fucking go. And bro, this Conor conversation's funny too. What's the stat?
Conor got TKO'd in 10th round.
10th round, but I think I landed more punches than... Either I landed more punches than Conor did, or Floyd hit Conor more than me, or one of them.
Either way, you did better than Conor McGregor against Floyd Mayweather. And I saw a lot of people posting the stats, like the side-by-side punching stats.
He outpunched.
Pause. It made you look like you didn't do as good as people thought, right? But in the Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson fight, when they posted the side-by-side stats, the stats said that he hit me like 8 times and that I only hit him 4 times.
Oh.
So, bro, fuck those fucking stats. Mm. Whoever's counting that shit's a fucking idiot. Nate Robinson didn't hit me once, and I hit him dozens of times and knocked him down to the ground 3 times. So how could I have only hit him 4 times?
Just 4 punches. Like,
that is weird. That, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the stats. This is why I go back to, if you've never been in the ring, never boxed, please just don't talk about boxing.
But it's fun because everyone wants to be the expert. Where I landed 100 more punches, or no, I threw, sorry, 100 more punches than Floyd. I was more active, was throwing. He only landed 15 more than me. What, 2 per round?
Again, says the guy who is, you know, who knows what is, who's counting that. Again,
facts. I guess
Nate Robinson hit me 8 times. No, you did not.
Yeah.
No.
Crazy, crazy, bro. It's wild, and I'm glad I have this lens, literally, an ability to shift from boxer to podcast host and like articulate what it's really like getting in the ring with Floyd Mayweather. Because when I was preparing for him, I'm wondering, like, part of my curiosity going in was, and I said this to Milt before the fight, I go, let's see how good this guy really is. Like, let's see how good he really, like, one of the greatest athletes ever. And I've been one-on-one with super athletes. Dominic Abunader, who's wrestling for Israel now. Like, I went into that fight in the match in districts, the championship, like 40-0, dude.
Yeah.
And so is he, right? Undefeated. But in my head, I go, there's levels to this shit. And everyone knows this kid's at the top. Beat my ass, pin me. The only person to pin me senior year. And it was the first time I was like, okay, there really are levels to this shit. When you're dealing with super athletes, it's different. And so in my head, I'm like, am I going to go into this fight and have a similar experience to Dominic Abunader, where I'm like, I know I'm a very good athlete, right? I'm good enough to be 40, you know, I'm good enough to like beat up everyone in sparring. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with an athlete of that caliber, am I going to be shocked and overwhelmed by how good he is? And that's what I think everyone was expecting. The asterisk would be, it's a fight, baby. It's boxing, right? Your muscles are great. Your endurance is great, but it's a fight. And the heart plays a lot more in this particular sport than in probably most sports. How much fight do you have in you? And if you're willing to bring that shit, like round four, homie puts his hands up, pressure fight, right? Starts walking towards me, making me throw, trying to get me tired. Landed some punches, some good counter shots. Go back to my corner. Milt goes, how you feeling? I'm tired. Tired, bro. And guess what? My very first fight, got tired in round 4. And it was downhill from there. Could not get that second win. Did not come back. Round 5 happened. Noticed my second win picking up, which it did in sparring. Every single time in sparring. Round 4, I dip. 5, 6, 7, 8. I go back up stronger than when I started.
Yeah.
And I felt that coming back. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, rely on your training.
Thank
rely
God.
On your training and what we've been trained to do. And it happened exactly like it did in training. 5, 6, 7. I go 7. I'm like, I'm gonna beat this fucking guy. Yeah. Like, I got this in the bag. And
you got to be careful with that information.
What?
I don't know. Just telling people what happens in your fights. And
no, I don't care. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad I can like say this because like. Try to formulate a game plan. Like,
there's only so much information on both of you as far as boxing, professional boxing matches go. How many tapes can they watch of Jake?
Yeah, I haven't done shit.
No, that's why it's.
You
bro.
Have like how much? Less than combined 5 minutes of professional fight time.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much to watch. So no one knows what to expect ever from either of you.
And I'm sitting here like telling them my game plan. I hear you, bro. But like, attempt to formulate a game plan. You're gonna fucking panic when it's not going your way, and you. If your strategy is you're relying on me to get tired in round 4, let's hope I
don't get better.
Yeah, like what? Like that's an easy fit. Like
also, yeah, like what I was gonna say is in between each camp, I get exponentially better.
Yeah.
So it's like you're not even gonna be fighting the same fighter.
Not even close. You didn't even see like who I was as a fighter. I was just like I walked in the locker room and I think my nonchalance about the whole thing was like because I was like as a boxer, my performance was like. I adjusted to the fucking dude I was fighting who was like 5 different people in one match and like just got it done, you know? So yeah, I mean, I thought about it. I was like, how much do I want to say? Like it's going to fuck with people when they're like, oh shit, like he didn't get tired. What do I do?
Smoke bomb.
Because bro, after that barrage in the first round, chilling, fine, whatever. Second round, fine. Third round, fine. Fourth round, I go, I'm a little tired. Mittland goes, no, you're not. I'm like, oh, yeah. No problem. Like, what is tired? It's chilling. Not even like a moment of hesitation or worriedness with the fight.
Yeah.
And it's funny. My dad and I were talking about this because I could have given more those last couple rounds. I really could have. It was round 8. And I had a lot of energy, just like in sparring. Bro, we'd be in round 12 in sparring, and I'd be bouncing off the walls. Like, if you notice, I didn't sit down in between the rounds.
Yeah.
It's not what we do. I also bend over because it opens up my lungs, just for everyone wondering. Like, it's not because I'm exhausted every round. I just deep breath, stand up, chill. But round 8, I had a lot of energy, and I noticed he was getting tired, which was unusual because I was told he wouldn't get tired, and he started breathing heavy, and I'm watching his body language, and it's shifting a little bit, and I'm like, okay, I could pounce on this guy. I could. And like try to fuck him up and take him out this 8th round. Or I could play it a little safe, make it out, and get what would be perceived as, I know, a win because I made it 8 rounds with the best fighter ever, and I did it the last 12 seconds. Rewatch the last like 12 seconds of the fight. Talking shit, having fun, throw a jab, he swings, dodge, I hit him with like a, I forget, like a, maybe a 1-2, but it was a moment where the last 30 seconds were there, and I'm like, I could go for it. I could try to knock out Floyd Mayweather in the last 30 seconds, or I could ride it out and get, again, a W, right? Yeah. And I go, it is so fitting for me to have almost made it the full 8 rounds, go crazy swinging, and get knocked the fuck out with 15 seconds left. And for the rest of my life, people will go, he almost did that. He almost, I didn't want to be the almost guy. Almost only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes, bro. I didn't want to be the guy who almost made it. And so I was like, I made the smart decision there. Like if it was a pro fight on record, for sure, like I'm calculating all these things in my head. Right, and this was it. You go for that fucking. But I was weighing it, and I'm like, dude, it is so like how fitting, dude. How fitting of me, like almost
just walk directly into a right hand,
which I would have, bro, because I knew the more I swung, the more he hit me. That's what I did know. I didn't know where the punches were coming from, but I knew it always happened when I missed. Missed something hit me. Yeah.
That's that speed.
That's what I'm saying.
You almost didn't get to your own fight.
I almost didn't make it to the fight, bro. So I didn't want to be the guy who, for the rest of my life, you almost beat Floyd Mayweather. Kill me, dude. Not taking the risk.
Hey,
risk or war, baby.
I got one question. You just did something that a lot of people thought were impossible. You just did what a lot of people thought was impossible. Who's Logan Paul?
When?
Right now. Who is Logan Paul?
His one brother.
Jake's brother. Jake Paul's brother, babe. Ready? The answer is this.
Yes.
Baby, I'm the Maverick. I am the impossible. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. I am the impossible. Straight up.
I love that.
That's how I feel. I always will be. Always have been, always will be. I didn't know I always had been. Mm-hmm. Now I know. Now I fucking know.
Proven.
Proven. And guess what? I'm going to prove it again, too. When I beat Mike Tyson. Nah, I love Mike. We love Mike. All right, that's it. Anything else? I love you guys. Thanks for listening to this this episode of Impulsive post-fight. One of the greatest moments of my life. Thank you guys for riding this crazy, crazy journey.
And comment if I should be the new Impulsive host.
Yeah, we got to figure out what is going to happen moving forward. We're still figuring it out. Obviously, with me not being in camp, the show will resume. Caleb's here on the cameras, and so the team is kind of fragmented right now. We'll figure it out. So if you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button. We love you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.